you. Thank you. It is still Christmas. There are 12 days, and it's not just because there was a song. The song is because there's a season of Christmas, and we are still in the midst of the season. I'll probably say something different at the end of the service, but it is Christmas. It is good to see you here. It is good to be together as the people of God, that we might share time with the Lord and with each other. A special welcome if you are visiting with us, if you are here for the first time or you're fairly new. If you'd like some information, the hub desk in the lobby, you can get that there. We would invite you to come for some coffee or tea after the service, and we have a special thing going on as the Archibald family are celebrating George and Martha and George. Yeah, we'll get this right. Martha and George getting married at the end of January. Same day, actually, that our daughter's getting married. And so you can come for some cake and celebration and meet the couple there. A couple of other things. Donations for the 2018 tax receipts, need to be in for today for them to count towards the 2018 tax receipt. Also, in another celebration, Alvin Arthur turns 100 tomorrow, and he is here. And in celebration, Lynn has gotten 100 roses. And so she's inviting people to take a rose at the end of the service. So I'm not sure how we'll get them to doors or if we are taking people come up to the front, but we'll figure that out when we get to that point. But you are encouraged to take a rose with you when you go today. The other announcements I will leave with you. Let us prepare to worship God. This Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. Most call it Low Sunday, the Sunday after Christmas. I find it the least pretentious Sunday of the entire year. After a season of doing things big and marvelous and wonderful for the Lord, this is a day where we step back and just enjoy being with the Lord, spending some time with Him. So let us do that today. Let us enjoy being with God in this place. Let us worship Him. Thank you.
Let us pray together. O God, it is our desire that our praises should rise to you every moment of every day. For you are the living God, and you are good. You are just and righteous. You are loving and compassionate. You are holy, and you are gracious. We celebrate you, O God, this day, for all that you are and for all that you have done. You are the Creator, and we worship you. You are the Savior in Jesus Christ, that in the fullness of time you became human in Jesus to live amongst us and to offer yourself as a sacrifice for our sin on the cross. And you raised Jesus from the dead, that the grave and death should have no hold on him or no claim on him. And you are the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, present in this place, present in our lives, and we worship you. We worship you, Father, Son, and Spirit, for you are worthy. And we bow ourselves before you humbly, acknowledging that in the face of your holiness, we are not worthy to be before you, but that in Jesus, and in him alone, you make us your own. You forgive our sins. You redeem us and make us to be your own sons and daughters. Bless us, we pray, Lord. Forgive our sins in Jesus. Heal our brokenness in Jesus. Revive us, renew us, and fill us that we should live for you in Jesus Christ, this day and always. Bless us now, Lord, as we worship. Bless us with the assurance that we are forgiven in Jesus and that we are yours always in him. Bless us that we might worship you as you are worthy. Our God, all this we pray in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we continue to pray, the words that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us hear God's word.
The reading this morning is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. It was a blank line there. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Right? We plan to do things. So as I'm going back over, you know it's going to be the new year in a couple of days, right? And that's why we're all saying Happy New Year, and it's going from 2018 to 2019, and we make all these plans. So I was going through my planning books, and you know what? This year I had to have two of them, and I got all these things in my books, see, that I was doing and that I had to do, and then I checkmarked them all off when I finished them. And I was going through these plans, and you know what? Sometimes we make all kinds of plans, and then God goes, mm-mm. You ever have that happen? Yeah. We make plans, and we think we're going to do it. So we write them down, and it's a good thing to do, to plan for things. Do you plan when you go to gymnastics? Mm-hmm. You make plans for that day, right? And you say, I'm going to gymnastics on that day, or I'm going swimming, or I'm going to do this and that. And I write down sometimes when I pray for people and when I'm going to do other things and when I'm going to have time in the morning that I sit down with God and try to figure out what I'm going to do for my day. That's plans that we make, and we make plans for next year. You know what I find really exciting? When I get a new year and a new book, and what? There's nothing in it. Not a thing. I like these new books. You like new books? Yeah, we like to do that kind of stuff. But you know what? It's good to plan, and God wants us to plan. We need to make plans for what we're going to do. But we also need to make time for God to work in our plan. And maybe that's not what he had in mind for us to do. And so we have to listen for God and change what we're going to do sometimes, right? Right. So we're going to change some things up next week. Next week is going to be our first day of our new Sunday school program. All upstairs, right? And we're going to start that next Sunday. So we're going to pray about that, and we're going to pray about the rest of your vacation time into the new year. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this year, and we thank you for this new year coming up. And we just pray you would be with us and give us a great time, a happy new year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So this morning we're going to go back with our parents, okay?
Let's pray. Our loving God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that you open your word to us by your Spirit. And we pray that you would do that today, that we might take in all that you would say and make it our own, that our lives should reflect you and your word. We pray in Jesus. Amen.
Because of Christmas Day.
I read a psalm each Sunday morning as my devotions in preparation for worship, and this morning was Psalm 133, and it speaks of oil running down the head onto the beard of Aaron, Aaron's beard. I just picture Jeff whenever I read that. People are going to start calling you Aaron, I don't know. We're reading this morning from the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. Let us hear God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been in the dark and you're really used to the dark and someone kind of sneakily comes in and turns the light on, and the discomfort that has on the eyes? And it can be hard on the eyes. It can be really quite uncomfortable. Throughout my teens, I was a side drummer that played in a couple of different pipe bands. I'm in that picture. I'm not going to show you which one. When I was about 15 or 16, the band I was playing in went to Toronto to play in a competition. And we were in the residence at Ryerson overnight while we were there. And as happens when you get about 20 young people together without any of their parents around, there was, shall we say, some unbridled enthusiasm. But even young people get to the point where they have had enough unbridled enthusiasm. And that had happened to me, and we had to be up early the next morning, so I headed off to bed. Not the first, but towards the first of those who had headed to bed. The issue there was that I had a roommate. David Moses was his name, and yes, that's his real name. And David did not want to go to bed. He was still enjoying the unbridled enthusiasm. But there wasn't a problem, because he had his own key. So I went in, locked the door, got ready, got into bed. Probably about 15, 20 minutes after I had fallen asleep, you know, just as you're approaching deep sleep, David used his key to open the door, but not to come to bed, to admit everybody else in the band who had not yet had enough unbridled enthusiasm into the room. Everyone standing around, then the door was closed, all watching, and then they flicked on the light to see what would happen. And it was really uncomfortable. It was unpleasant. I'm reaching up to try and get the light, but somebody had put themselves right in front of the switch, so I was just hitting a chest there as I was trying to get the light. It was uncomfortable. I could have dealt with the people. I knew them all well, but it was uncomfortable to be used to the dark and then all of a sudden to be in the light. Light can be hard on the eyes, but it allows us to see. It allows us to see colors and textures and shapes. It allows us to see things as they really are. Without light, we're lost. We read a moment ago, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." When the light, came to the world, it made people uncomfortable. It was easier to be in the dark. It was more comfortable to be in the dark. They just wanted the light to go so that they could relax and see things as they had always seen them and understand things as they had always understood them. We tend not to think of the first chapter of John's Gospel as a Christmas passage. After all, it doesn't talk about baby Jesus. It doesn't talk about Mary or Joseph. There's nothing about shepherds or wise men in it. But this passage in John is just as important to the reality of Christmas as all the other passages, because this passage speaks to us of the truth of the incarnation. The truth of God becoming human to be with us. The truth of God becoming human to be one of us. In this passage, Jesus is referred to as the Word, but he's also referred to as the Light. And that infers that the world was a dark place before Jesus was born. And it was a dark place because of the brokenness of the relationship between God and humanity. Because of humanity's sin. But when Jesus came into the world, the light came. And the light showed everything as it truly was. The light revealed God as he is. The light revealed humanity as it truly was. And as we explore this metaphor, we find a richness in this passage. When light is added to a dark place, you see things that were hidden before. You can see colors and textures that you did not see before. You can find your way around and past obstacles that you couldn't before. But as happened to me late at night in the room at Ryerson, light shining in the darkness can also be uncomfortable. And this, all of this is certainly true about Jesus as the light, as the one true light. Jesus as light reveals God as he is. In Jesus, the people of in the first century in Judah could see God. They could see the love of God and the power of God. They could see the truth of God and the mercy of God. They could see the word of God and the compassion of God. And Jesus pointed the way to the Father. In fact, Jesus revealed himself to be the way to the Father. And what was true of the people of the first century is true for us today as well. When we have faith in Jesus Christ and trust in him, we see God. We see God's power and love. We see his truth and his mercy, his word and his compassion. We see that he is full of grace and truth. The light of God, Jesus, reveals the living God. But the light of God, Jesus, also reveals humanity as it truly is, as we truly are. And as it is often more comfortable to leave the light off and to remain in the dark, we too find that the light reveals us as we truly are. And there are times where we may just want the light to go away. When the light shines on us, it reveals our imperfections. It reveals those things within us for others to see, things that we don't want them to see. And it reveals to us things that we don't even want to see within ourselves. That can be pretty uncomfortable. In my faith journey, I have found that the times where I am closer to God, I not only understand God better, I understand myself better. And I can see myself more as I truly am. I can see my sin and my brokenness more clearly the closer I am to God. The farther I am from God, those things don't seem to show up quite as much. But the closer I get to God, the more they are revealed. I picture it in my mind as a large room with a bright light in the center of it. And in the corners and around the walls at the edges, it's dark. And one can hide there and be unseen and can look at yourself and everything looks pretty good. But the closer we get to the light, the more we see the truth, the more we see ourselves as we really are. And we find the closer we get to the light, we find there's little that can be hidden from the light. When the light came, it revealed God as he is. The light revealed sinful humanity as it is. And different people reacted in different ways. Some reacted with thanksgiving and joy, and others reacted with violence and hate. And still others reacted with indifference or misunderstanding. There were the shepherds who heard the message from the angel, and they went into Bethlehem to find the Christ child and to worship him. There were magi or wise men who knew the prophecies and saw the star and followed the way to Jesus to worship him. But there was also Herod and the religious leaders and the political leaders who wanted Jesus dead. And when that didn't happen to him as a baby, they wanted him dead as an adult. And then there were those who just didn't get it. They had seen Jesus on and off throughout his life, throughout his ministry, and they didn't understand him. They didn't grasp who he was or what he was doing. But there were also those who wanted him to be who they wanted him to be, with a warped understanding of the Messiah, trying to shape him into some kind of political leader, someone who would meet all of their physical needs. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Other versions read, but the darkness has not understood it. overcome, understood. The word in the original Greek is ambiguous. It can mean understand, it can mean overcome. And there are commentators who spend pages upon pages to explain why they accept one translation over the other. And I believe that John chose this word probably pretty intentionally because it has a couple of meanings. And so it can mean overcome and it can mean understand. The darkness did not understand the light. So many of the people did not understand Jesus. But neither does the darkness overcome the light. The light shines on. But for those who do understand, for those who do accept the light, there is so much. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent or human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Accepting the light and the good things it brings to our lives, accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord, means we receive the right to become daughters and sons of the living God. In these days after Christmas, while we're still in the Christmas season, we're in the midst of the celebration of the coming of light into this world. The people walked in darkness and a great light shone around them. The light is come. The light is here. The light of Jesus Christ shines today. And the light of Christ still reveals things as they truly are. The light reveals God as he is. The light reveals humanity as we are. And the light has shown and continues to show us the power and love of God. In Jesus, we find saving grace that reaches beyond the grave. But that same light reveals that we are sinners, that we are in need of the salvation that only Jesus can bring. And that revelation of us being sinners can be pretty uncomfortable. And because of that discomfort, which the light brings, the same reactions from long ago are reactions that we see today. Some reject the light immediately. Don't call me a sinner. I'm no sinner. I'm a good person. The light interrupts the worldview, and that's uncomfortable. Some believe the light doesn't show them anything at all. They've lived all their lives looking at the world in the same way, and so they reject any light that would cause any different way of looking at things. And some just find it more comfortable to be hidden in the dark, where no one can see what they do, where no one can see who they truly are. Some reject the light even today. Many don't understand the light. We look around us at Christmas time from, well, I was going to say the beginning of November, even earlier than that, in all of the commercial preparation for Christmas. And we see that Christmas is packaged for the consumer. And we come to the conclusion that many people, perhaps even most people, just don't understand what the light is all about. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not understood it. Today, like long ago, there are those who reject the light. Today, like long ago, there are those who just don't understand the light, and they're left either confused or they shape the light into what they want it to be. That we create Jesus who we want him to be, to meet our needs, to meet our understanding. But today, as long ago, the darkness has not overcome the light. No matter how many might reject the light, no matter how many might misunderstand the light, it is not overcome. It will never be overcome because the light is Jesus Christ. And the light shines to all eternity. No matter how much commercialism, no matter how much misunderstanding might distract us from the light, they will never overcome the light, which is the truth of Christ. The saving grace of Jesus is always before us, and there is nothing in the world, there is nothing that the darkness can do to put that light out. Take heart. The light shines. And to all those who did receive, who do receive, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. There are times when the light is going to make us feel uncomfortable because it reveals things to us we do not want to see. But the light, Jesus, also forgives those very things. And if we allow ourselves to struggle through the discomfort and get used to the light, that changes everything. We find that we can see better. We find that we can understand things better. Things take on new life and new vitality in the light of Christ. We see the love of God, and we see that in the light we are made to be daughters and sons of the living God. Let's pray together. Our loving, holy God, we thank you for the light that is Jesus. And we confess to you that we find it often easier and more comfortable to be left in the dark. But we pray that you would shine the light of Christ upon us. We pray that you would draw us to the light that is Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for forgiveness in him. We thank you for salvation in him. We thank you for life in him. We thank you for a true understanding of love and grace and holiness that we find in him. We pray that you would help us to deal with all that is revealed in us by the light. We pray that you would help us to come to grips with our own sin, to come to grips with our own brokenness, and to turn to Jesus for mercy and grace, for forgiveness and healing. Help us to see you, Lord, in the light of Jesus, that we might truly understand ourselves as the children of God. Shine the light on us, Lord, that we might see who we truly are in Jesus as your own children. Lord, we pray for this world and the various things going on. This morning we pray for Bangladesh and the situation there around elections where so many have died because of violence around the elections. We thank you that we live in a country where we take elections for granted so much. We pray for the people of Bangladesh. We pray for safety and security and a good election. Lord, we pray that you would help us to fight against the racism we continue to see in our world, as revealed in the news with what happened in the hotel in Oregon, but happens so much more and goes unnoticed by so many. Use us, Lord, to fight back the evil of racism.
We pray for this community as we look forward to celebrating the New Year's. We pray for wisdom for those who will drive, not to be driving intoxicated in any way. We pray for safety on the roads. We pray for safety for the people of this city. And Lord, we thank you for the year that is past. For some of us, it has been a fabulous year. For others, it has been a very difficult year. But in the midst of all that, it has been a year in which you have been present with us. A year in which we have known the grace of God. And so we pray for 2019. We thank you for the gift of a new year. And we pray that you would bless us as individuals. We pray that you would bless us as the church, as St. Paul's. And we pray that 2019 would be a year where St. Paul's has a greatly increased impact on our community with the gospel. Do amazing things, Lord, in this community, through us. We pray that you would bring glory to your name in this coming year through us. We pray that you would bring people to yourself through us as we trust you, as we follow Jesus, as we do your will. Bless us to be a blessing, Lord. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue to worship God and to give him honor as we present to him our offerings. God, we thank you for Jesus and all we have in him. We thank you for your daily provision, for your yearly provision, for provision throughout our lives. We bring these gifts to you now, the gifts of our money and time and efforts, the gifts of our skills. We present them all to you, Lord, for your glory and for use in the work of your kingdom here in this place, this community, and this world. Lord, all for your glory, we offer them to you now in Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I went through some kind of time disruption there. Did you go through that too? Yeah, okay, maybe. My brothers and sisters, go from here in the light of Christ. It changes everything. And I pray for you a happy and most blessed new year. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now and always. Amen.